Welcome, welcome, we ilksaumari to the machine.
Remember, don't shoot food. Say a key to open doors.
Says Putin's regime is fair game. Joining us now, NBC News correspondent Tom Costello. Tom, what more can you tell us?
Well, you know, for years, the U.S. has accused the Russian government of cyber attacks, sometimes working alongside Russian cyber criminals. But now Russia is in the crosshairs. And before you celebrate, think about how quickly this could snowball into an all-out global cyber war.
This is a message to Vladimir Putin.
The group calls itself Anonymous. Unaffiliated hackers around the world now putting Russia in the crosshairs.
Members of Anonymous have declared cyber war against your aggressive regime.
They claim they've already targeted more than 1,500 Russian websites, including Kremlin-controlled news agencies, the Ministry of Defense and Space Agency, Russian oil companies, internet providers, and even TV channels.
They're all the fight in cyberspace has resulted in a lot of websites not being available, some websites going down, and a lot of records, Russian government, Russian military records being dumped down under the internet.
U.S. officials confirm they've seen evidence of the anonymous hack after Russia launched a cyber and ground offensive against Ukraine.
But the real risk to Russia long-term is the canceling of their access to internet infrastructure as private sector companies decide that they're going to delist or no longer carry their traffic.
Cutting off Russia from the world would also deprive everyday Russians of access to outside news and information. And cyber pros worry Russia may view the anonymous hacks as Western attacks and target U.S. government and company sites. U.S. Cybersecurity Director Jen Easterly. How at risk is the average American or that very small business owner?
Everybody's at risk, which is why at the end of the day, they need to take the steps to protect their systems, their networks, and their data. This can happen to anyone. There is no one that is immune from potentially getting hacked.
The cybersecurity basics: never click on suspicious emails or links, use complicated passwords, and multi-step authentication. Back up your computers and keep security software up to date.
This basically ensures that you can log in
on Friday if they found your device.
Avoid online shopping.
Media users have also shared
what brushes of
ethics. Gated security keeps one to make the noise stop. Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram in the past week and is currently the most popular free app on Apple's App Store.
Automated malware detection systems include IOF, Fitados,
Russian government, Russian military.
Talk to him, he's way over there. Get that little bastard out of the war room.
No, it's Joshua. He's still playing the game. He's gonna start a war.
Oh, wait, how to be fought.
Listening, man behind the machine. How you doing?
Oh, good. I just had to run out there real quick. I was working on a vehicle, so I'm trying to get it fixed up.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so I was just... my friend come by, they grabbed it this morning. I had another friend of mine, he had a birthday today, so went out and celebrated his birthday today. So
Dr. Absolito,
my other buddy's working my truck while I was gone.
I can't complain. I'm supposed to get some money.
Came back with some retro technology.
All right,
the Amiga, of course, and the Super Nintendo.
Okay.
And Neo Geo consoles.
There you go.
Yep. Picking it old school.
That's the best way, huh?
I mean, you know, live and die by the sword, you know?
That's what they say.
I love it. Yeah, my Amiga boot up screen, I'll send you a photo now, what it looks like. So.
All right.
Trying to keep up, you know, are you keeping up with the Commodore? Because the Commodore's keeping up with you. It's the original theme song.
Yeah,
I can't even keep up with Commodore. My buddy keeps posting demo programs in his group.
Oh, yeah.
On Facebook, he posts and posts. I can't keep up.
Yeah.
At one point, I just want to say, here, I'm going to send you a hard drive. Just fill it up with everything.
There you go.
Because he'll post a program a day. And, yeah, and, you know, I'm just like, I need... to just get the whole archive, you know, and then I could boot it into my system.
Right.
I know. I get, you know, somebody yesterday told Dr. Absolito to upgrade. He's like, you got to get into the 21st century, you know, but I'm in 1982.
I haven't really looked into it in a while, and like I said, I got kind of stuck on, you know, like I said, I was kind of forced into Mac and just doing the Final Cut work. That's all I've really been doing. And then as it kind of went away, man, like I said, it's just interesting on how AI is going to go with editing and stuff.
Yeah.
So I've got tons of tapes. I'm going to start, like, all the old ATV shows. I've got probably about, I'd say close to about 300 to 400 hours of work, you know, just
dubbing them over and getting them into digital.
Just really?
Tape after tape after, oh yeah, huge amount of tapes. I can't wait to start doing some stuff because, like I said, some of the places, especially when we came back and filmed in Detroit for many years, the places aren't even around anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Detroit is like insane now. It's like you wouldn't even recognize it from back in the day. Like even Chicago, when I go back there, I don't even recognize Chicago.
You don't even recognize it, yeah.
Yeah, when I go to places where I used to live, like I used to live in the straight up hood. So it's like,
speaking of AI, what'd you think of the?
I try to explain it to people. They're like, "Oh, this looks really nice." I'm like, "You didn't live like you said you lived." I'm like, "Yeah, you didn't live here in the '90s when I lived here when it was not like this at all." You know, I lived right outside of Cabrini Green in the beginning. I lived up north for a couple minutes, but then I lived on the south side near 22nd and Wabash, which was really rough. That was in front of the Robert Taylor homes, and we lived there for quite some time. And you just go to that area now. That's like Chinatown.
Yeah.
Now you just go there, and it's just amazing. I mean, it's just like, wow. It's just crazy to me because I went to the one area where I used to live, and I couldn't even find where I used to live. I couldn't remember the block I lived on. So I was telling people this is kind of where I lived, and I was like, this is where I used to stand here. We used to freeze and waiting for the bus, and we used to go to the ducks. That was our big thing, was going to the ducks, because that was the only way we were going to survive, was eating ducks. Remember ducks? Did you ever eat ducks?
Oh my God, no.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was just crazy. That's how we lived.
Hey, by the way, speaking of AI, what did you think of the AI film I did?
Oh, I liked it, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, I liked it. It's interesting. So let me ask you on that. Did you script it? And they put the whole thing to the script, or did you put some B-roll in there with it?
The way it works is I did a prompts, and okay. I put some keywords in there, and then it generates this whole dialogue copy of what somebody would be narrating, and then it did the English accent.
Yeah.
Yeah, it did it all. The AI, the images, all AI by itself.
Interesting.
And within 4 minutes, it's already compiled, and then it allows you to look at the copy of the narration,
right?
And you could change, and then what's amazing? So it's done compiling, and then it goes, "Do you want to edit something?" And then I edit, and then I just command it. I go, "Change the narrator's voice from American to English." Or cut out the first scene. I just say cut out the first scene. I press enter and it renders it again and it's done.
Wow.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing, bro.
Right.
You know where we've been. That's why I'm working. I just did my second film. I should show you my second AI film yesterday, which was based on Dr. Obsoleto's life. In retro technology from his point of view. So I just used a new AI system for that. So I'm just exploring. I just did my second AI film. I'll share it with you. Get your feedback. You know, I mean, it's at the beginning stages, but I think it's important to always test stuff because you never know when it's going to be pulled. It's happened in the past.
Yeah.
It's happened. Yeah. I'm excited by it. I just want to test it.
Technology. I mean, it's like, you know, it's like a lot of people even in the day were complaining, like, oh, you know, once we do the online editing as compared to tape, and I'm like, my gosh, it just saves so much time. How can you not use it? You know, look where we've come from, non-linear editing. And like I said, I mean, the first time we were actually, I was very fortunate, you know, to be able to. Because there was no Final Cut Pro. It was none of that. It was me. It was Commodore. I mean, that's what it was. I mean, there was nothing else besides the video toaster for non-linear editing, you know? And to be able to, it's still about $4,000, you know, a machine and program, you know, that was way more affordable than the Avid, which was close to $1 million.
Wow.
Which would have been closer to, like, the Final Cut Pro of the day. You know, so I mean, to put us in the ring and be able to start non-linear editing, you know, and just move from tape was just a major thing. And then the great part about it is they literally started to you know, compile programming. So it was like you had graphics, you had, as I said, I think I've talked about it before, there was a great thing where you could genlock on your computer, and then you could have different feeds. Like, they were really the first ones that, if, you know, with different camera sources locked into a computer, that was way ahead of the game. That was ahead of the game. I mean, nobody could really do that, because nobody really, I remember just getting one of the genlocks, because I think it cost something like a couple grand to get it genlocked, and you could only genlock one, and you had to buy the other one and genlock the other one. So I had one camera that we could run through on the genlock, and that was unique, because when you, they had like different like filter effects within Toaster. So when you put the filter effect on it, you'd have like all kinds of crazy colors and all kinds of, you know, different things. It was one I really enjoyed. I really wish I could get back to it, you know, and like be able to do that gen locking again onto it. Because like, if you have a BNC cable, it was BNC into the computer, and then you could literally, it was just amazing, because you could like literally move the screen and the screen would move with you. So it was just insane. Like, I just remember there was like a black and white, like colored squares or something like that, and literally you could see your hand in it, you know. It was like way ahead of its time. Like, now you could see it, it's like they were kind of, you know, it's like the new future or whatever, but back in the 90s, you know, it was just quite amazing. You know, it was so amazing to me that I can't believe it was actually happening. You know, it's like one of those things. So it's like, I'd like to go back to it again to say, okay, let's see, you know, say we really just, the amazement of me, or it was actually being done, which I know it was.
Well, you know, that's the thing, you know, and it's to say, iStuff might not have the amazing wow factor that Amiga had, you know, but you can now tell it to mimic 35 millimeter feel to the film. So yeah. I could tell the AI, do this, do that, and make it look like 35 millimeter film. So the AI is trying to mimic different styles.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a tool that, you know, I think is pretty cool to experiment with.
Absolutely.
And you can create stuff on the fly quick. You know, you can make
it
quick.
I'm looking forward to getting into it, you know. I haven't really did too much on the creative tip, and I probably a good 6 months or so. I've been just kind of doing the daytime gig and just kind of catching up and doing some stuff. But looking forward to like start some stuff during the spring and just keep going back onto it and really start to learn some of the AI. Have more time and stuff like that to really kind of study some stuff. And I'm looking forward to really getting involved in it.
Yeah, you know, it's like you want to tell stories.
It's a great opportunity, you know, to just put stuff together, and the machine's working for you while you're doing other things.
Yeah, you know, you want to tell stories. You can tell stories with these machines.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, versus like, oh, I'm gonna hire a producer, or if I'm going to do it all myself, yeah, that's one thing. But, you know, the producer's got to lay it out, and then you got to get the sound guy and the editor. Then you got to pay the editor to go do that. And here I've got the machine where I just tell the machine what my idea is. And then, and it saves it now in my library. It saves it. So now I can go back, you know, and have a repository of ideas that I've been created. It's, you know, I mean, I know it's all new and glitzy and everybody's talking about AI, but, you know, I'm excited by the possibilities, because, you know, even to shoot a scene, you know, like, oh, we're going to go shoot it in this apartment or someplace, you know, lighting, you know, something, you know, the things happen, glitched out. Oh, yeah, we had this whole shoot, and then guess what? Somebody effed up the audio.
Yeah,
and they just spent all this money, and they had the crew there, and it basically, it's fried.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, that was the cool thing about just moving into digital, because, like I said, when you were like with the red cameras and stuff like that, you can check the footage and everything like that.
Yeah.
Imagine, like I said, they shot Ghostbusters on a film and they got it to the studio and they realized that they didn't close the camera door correctly.
Oh God.
So, basically was scratching the film the entire time,
or something to that effect. So they had to drag everybody out. And I guess it was one of the worst scenes. It was one of the scenes when they were sliming guys in the middle of the winter. So they had to go back and reshoot the entire thing because they ended up, because the film door wasn't correctly closed.
Wow.
So you could, yeah, so you could just
holy buckets.
Oh, yeah, man.
Wow.
So now with the red cameras, you know, and the ability to rewind it and look at it again, you know, obviously it's a great thing. And obviously you can say with AI and all that. But you know what is interesting to me now? I think I don't know if I mentioned this to you the other day. I see all these trailers now out on the internet.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't think they're even movies. I think they're just like seeing if people watch them and if they want to make them into movies. Like I see every day now there's like Terminator 3, Terminator, you know, 1050, you know, it's like they've got all these trailers now that are up there, and I don't even think they're going to be movies until people actually see if like enough people watch them and find interest in it to make the movie. And now it's all going to be just AI. It's like these people will be dead.
Yeah.
Like all these people will be gone, like Arnold Schwarzenegger, they'll all be gone and they'll still be making movies with him in them.
Yeah.
His voice. Because they'll just say mimic Arnold Schwarzenegger's voice and put it to the movie.
Yeah. You'll have these digital avatars running around with big arms.
Yeah, you won't even recognize him.
And it's
you
like, how do we know it's real Arnold or fake Arnold? How do you know?
You won't even know.
You know, there's clones.
Yeah.
They're cloning everybody, you know?
With the AI. They got enough of his voice, you know, for years of recording it.
But I didn't even know, like, with the first movie I sent you that I did, I didn't even know I was going to narrate it when I made it. Yeah. And then it generated all this copy, you know, like generally like the narrator, the person on the stage, the anchor, typically isn't the one that's creating the copy, right?
Right.
Somebody creates the copy and hands it to the talking head.
Yeah.
And the AI is just so right on, like I sent to you, that like history of computing.
Yeah.
You know, it generated it and imagined all this stuff. And then it gives you the copy, and you can go in there and edit it.
Right.
And then it renders it in seconds. How do you compete with the machine? Like, remember Pink Floyd? Welcome to the machine.
Yeah, welcome to it, man. Welcome to it.
Yeah. And
I mean, like you said, it's a great technology. I can't wait to kind of delve into it. But, you know, it's just like, which way are they going to take the technology? And, you know, it's a good thing. It's a great opportunity, I feel. But once again, you're right on the cusp of like, you know, are they going to use it for a dangerous technology? You know, be putting stuff out that people don't realize, especially in today's propaganda world. It's so easy to put people. It's so easy to come out with it, and we have such an overabundance of everything now. You know,
right.
It's like there's never going to be less. There's never going to be, you know, okay, there you go. It's just going to be so much of an overabundance. And the carrying on of whatever, you know. It's like, I've talked to guys in the radio business, you know, which you would think terrestrial radio would be gone by now. But they're like, we don't even do our shows anymore. We just go in and we record our voices and intros and outros, and they put it all in between the music. They just do it all in the AI thing.
Yeah,
they don't,
I know.
Half of them don't even show up to work now.
Yeah, and somebody sent me something the other day. Please try out our newer AI for voiceover. It's an AI voiceover.
Yeah.
And it does all the text overlays.
Yeah.
That was a lot of work back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, it's just amazing. I mean, you know, just to go from that to tape but the hard part about it is, too, is like, a lot of people lost their jobs because that used to be a job. Like, you used to have five different guys in the video booth. You had the graphic designer, you had the editor, you had the director who was directing the editor, you had the guy who was doing the sound, you know, so you had all these guys working in one area when they were doing commercials or whatever like that. I used to sit on, you know, like editing eBays with four or five different people, you know. We'd have a guy sitting there, and as soon as they needed graphics to come up, he'd sit there. he designed the graphics, and you wait for him, you know, the certain scene in the thing, and he'd watch it on his monitor, and then he'd press the graphic, and the graphic would pop up. And then he'd press the monitor or the button again, and the graphic would come down. Nowadays, I mean, that's what was the unique thing about the video toaster is they put everything into one complete program where you could have the graphics and everything. But then you got that going on, you didn't need your graphic guy there anymore. You know?
Amazing.
Yeah. I mean, look at even the news channels now. They don't have, I'm sure, anybody working in the studios. It's all robots and technology. It's just the talking head news guy. You know?
Right.
So.
They've got that advanced technology.
Oh yeah.
You know, where you could just make them.
And they got it way ahead of us, you know, so they're getting all the information way before us. So it's like, you know, nonlinear editing was probably started in the early 80s, and we didn't start to touch it until the 90s. And I mean, it was because you had Advid, you know, and they were just looking at how to get it to the consumer. And now it's like everybody's an editor with TikTok and, you know, and you know, YouTube and the different editing programs. I don't know what is it. I don't know. It's like I can't think of it. Vivek Video or something like that, where you can just edit on the fly. Oh, it's InPhoto. Yeah, it's like InPhoto or something like that. I don't, you know, don't quote me on that, but I like literally, it's like I have my friends that are now editors because of it. Like, look, I could take all my photos from my phone and I'll put them into a song, and they put it, you know, they do a mix to it and everything like that.
Yeah, because
now you know what I've been suffering. I'm just sitting in a little dark room for years.
Right. Know? Yeah, so, it's me.
You know,
it, yeah.
Cool. I mean, like I said, everybody's an editor now, which is cool.
Yeah, but, and the AI can do all that, you know.
Oh yeah.
You know, people that think they're doing it themselves are monkeys. They're monkeys, you know. Just let the machine do it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's crazy.
GPT or whatever it is where they can do all the writing for you. Like, when it comes to, like, I can write, but when it comes to anything that sounds structured, nah, it ain't going to work for me. So the chat GPT or whatever it is works pretty well. Like, I sent it over to my one friend, and he put it all together for me, basically putting it in that and sent it back to me. And he says, yeah, here, this is where you want it to sound. And it did, you know, it sounded more structured, it sounded way better than I would ever do it, so, how cool was that?
How good,
yeah,
cool.
I gave them a lot to work with, you know, I gave them everything to work with, and all they did was turn around and just put it in the correct pronunciations, and then and there, and, you know,
with this AI in the narrator section, you should see it. I got drop-downs of different countries.
Yeah.
And then when I click on the country, I get like 20 different options.
Yeah.
It's
great.
That would
be really cool because that would be like something I always wanted to do.
Yeah.
Like with the, like ATV. Okay, so let's say you had a host that was an American host, and you have an Arabic host, and you have someone from, let's say, China or whatever.
France.
And they would speak. Yeah. And they would speak in their language, and then it would go to the video. Well, that's a great opportunity to move people into the music because it's great because the music literally is just the music. There's really no sound anyways. I mean, singing or anything like that. And then you just come back to the host. That's where it's like, you know, I'm surprised. I mean, I'm sure they did it. Like MTV, you know, worked its way around that way. But I'm surprised it really didn't. They didn't do it here in America, you know, like they should have. Because there's other people from other countries here. You know what I'm saying? It's like, here you are. You went and you made a bunch of shows, you took away the music out of MTV, and yet you could have went and said, okay, well, hey, I've got a huge demographic of Arabic people that live in Michigan, especially in Dearborn, Michigan, so maybe if we had an Arabic host speaking in their language and did the show around that and just marketed in that area, it's the same videos, you know, it's just different hosts. You know, so that was always interesting to me, but they ended up going to reality TV and bouncing music all together off of MTV.
Unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. MTV was just watching the downfall. I mean, it was weird. I mean, it was, and the other thing, too, is like, I just go back to the TV show that they did in my hometown. We were actually competing against MTV with Back Porch Video, you know, and it was way cooler. It was just way more organic, just. It was just way better, you know. And it was, they would show videos
to the point where it's like, now you're not even getting good videos on MTV. You're getting corporate videos on MTV that you're not, they're putting out their artists, and instead of like using MTV, which should have been just like radio. That's where radio has failed. It's like radio is really meant to be like, yeah, you have like the typical Led Zeppelin songs all the time, but then you'd have local people, you know, that's what it's supposed to be. But they're going to throw in the extra same old Jimi Hendrix song as to putting on like any type of local music. You know, we were fortunate because in the 80s here, we were having guys like the Electronic Mojo, who used to do like underground music, which basically, yeah, if it wasn't for them, you wouldn't have the techno scene because you actually were able to get your music on the radio. But they bounced him right off, you know, right down the dial because of corporate. And then we were fortunate enough to have DJs that went out of their way to play local music on certain nights, on Sunday nights usually, in Detroit, you know. And even in Chicago. Chicago was cool because they at least started to play electronic music on Saturdays.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
But it was all, you know, pretty much non-local. It was, you know, pretty much, but it was still, at least it was something.
Right.
You have a house scene in Chicago. I mean, obviously Bad Boy Bill, you know, and stuff like that, and they did a lot of like Julian Jumper Perez and all that.
Right.
So they had stuff like that, but you know, you didn't hear like local guys like you or anything coming up. You know, it's like, wow, you know, that's what it's all about. You know, it's like, right, you know, it's too bad. You know, I mean, I get it. It's like really cool that you're going to have the AI and you've now gone to like internet radio and stuff like that. But yeah, it all starts with local, man. It's like that. Now they started to do that with the channel here. I think they finally just kept hammering on the people here because we have NPR here, which was really cool, like in the 90s, because it was like local college radio, and they had like different shows and different music shows, and then the BBC bought it, and then they started doing all this news, and then people were like, I'm sick of this news stuff, and so they started to finally filter back in just recently, like local programming of like having like electronic artists, and like I just heard we have the Hamtramck Blowout here.
Yeah.
So they're playing like a lot of the local artists that are going to be there this weekend on this show. And that's the way it should be. I mean, that's cool. You know what I'm saying? Come on. You got all this money you're making off the same old Led Zeppelin songs, and you can't even take an hour out of the day to promote what's going on, you know? I mean, you're not going to get that. I don't know if they do that in Minnesota or not. I don't know if that. I know they weren't going to do it in Chicago. There's no way. I mean, the only thing that really was any breaking in Chicago was on Saturday nights when they started to play electronic music from like 10 until 2,
right,
10 until 12 or 10 until 2 in the morning. And that got bounced, I'm sure. But that's the whole thing. It's like, you know, you got technology. It's like, you know, why not use it for the thing and, you know, go back to the roots of the good stuff.
Yeah.
You know, be able to. You don't need even a DJ. You can have your robot DJ doing the whole. You don't have to pay anybody if you don't want to. You're not losing any money. It's all local artists. You could have a local robot do it. It's like you might make money because people are still going to advertise.
That's why I like playing underground music on my shows, because then you run into the where they want to delete your episodes because of copyright infringement.
Yeah.
You know, I want to support the local artists that the machines go, we don't know what this is.
Yeah, we've always been true to that. And it's so funny, right, too, because they used to come after us.
Obsoleto.
Like, I used to have my friends on my show, and they're, you know, they're pretty popular guys, right? And we were playing their music video, and all of a sudden we get this stuff. And we're like, why are we getting whatever they send us, like cease and desist letters? I'm like, what the hell is this all about? These guys are mental. I'm like, these are my buddies. I'm like, they told me they're getting promotion. They're not getting, you know, it's like they're not getting promotion on the radio. You're not giving them any promotion. The worst ones were, gosh, what the hell were they? Because everybody would sign up for them back in the day, like some type of band camp or something like that. It was like something like that. We'd always get it from the same guys, like band camp or whatever they put it on. Like, you're using our song.
I'm like, wait a minute. But what happened was, is these artists, and they didn't realize it, thinking they were going to get famous through these certain websites, say Bandcamp or whatever the heck it was that they had. And in the clause, it said, you can't be using this for anything else but us, and we get the first dibs on it now. So basically, they signed all their music over to these websites. I can't think of the one that always used to send us one, and it was, everybody thought it was really good, so they all did it. In fact, I'll have to find out one day, but it was hilarious because they didn't even know. Like, I called up my buddy one day, and I was like, hey, you know, I get a letter here from this company, and it seems like you guys signed. He's like, dude, I signed that for them like years ago. We didn't make any money. We didn't think it was going anywhere, so I actually forgot about it. I'm like, yeah, I'm sure you did, because they just sent me a letter saying that we have to cease and desist playing your music on our TV show because we don't have rights to it. And so that's what a lot of these bands, they never realized when they were signed up for these, like maybe the Spotify's or whatever it is, thinking they're going to get, you know, better plays,
right,
and be able to move forward and make money, signed over their rights to their music, okay, then you still got to pay Spotify.
Right.
You know, Spotify's going to send you a bill.
I know. You got to be careful.
Yeah.
You're right, bro. The Atari Game Station Pro can load ROMs. So I had an inkling of this, but I read on the package and nothing said SD card, but on Atari's official website it says micro SD slot not included. So no micro SD is included, but you can files. So you could save your games and import ROMs. Very cool. Merry Christmas, bro. Much love. Yeah, it's a game changer, you know? I could load up all that stuff that I already have and more onto this rock and roll, baby, and I don't have to worry about any emulator errors. So, exciting. I hope that there are incompatibility issues with the game station when I load ROMs, but I'm very excited about this. Yeah!
Doctor
Obsoleto! Okay, so to back up, I just got a Christmas / birthday gift from my childhood friend, my best buddy, and I am just over the moon on this Atari Game Station Pro. So cool, man. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. And behind the machine and Dr. Obsoleto, Clone 64, wishing you a Happy New Year and thanks for listening. Subscribe below. Yeah, it's my jam right there. Dark chamber.
Oh,
my. Oh yeah.
How do you even play? Get the stone thing. Get the key.
Yeah, I'm gonna get him. Did I get him? Where's the key?
It's right in there. Yes.
Atari Game Station Pro.
Get it. Get the ghost. They're three things.
Yeah, they turn into other things, yeah.
it's going to be turning into the blue guy. Treasure chest.
Treasure. Obsoleto.
Why is it 0000?
That's the second player.
Cheese.
Yummy.
That's got nothing.
Food fight on Atari.
I got the key so I can open the door. And then I go down the stairs. Entering level B. Here, you want to play? And there's fire.
No. I want you to try to find another key. Kill stuff and then connect to the blue guy. If there's a skeleton to the blue guy, but... there is this blue guy.
This new Atari, very impressive, even after owning the original 2600.
A trap. Obsoleto.
Key. So you're starting in the yellow?
Level C.
This is where you were before?
Yeah.
Get the bottle! Make it not be a crab. Bring that.
No, that's bad.
Oh. Poison. Then what is it?
Poison. And this is an apple. Okay, here we go.
Yeah. Oh. No! Go to the other one! Go inside!
I gotta get that key.
Okay. Get the turkey!
Turkey.
Yummy, yummy, yummy. In my tummy. Right everywhere there's this. A key.
Yeah, I gotta get the key.
Get the sword. Get the heart. Heart.
Oh, can't get it.
Ooh. What's that?
Yeah, but there's a potion and this is a trick. What?
Okay, now go down back.
Level E.
Level E?
Yep. Whoa.
Wow, blue dots this time. There's dots around black. Say la, to la, to sa. La la.
I know, but I gotta go get some other stuff.
Why?
Because then you don't get all the treasure if you go down to the next level. You gotta complete the level.
Very cool, Game Station Pro.
Yeah, bitch. Okay.
But we don't know where the ladder is.
Yep, we know.
Right where we started.
Yep.
Bunk your stuff and none bad.
Huh.
You got a gun!
Yeah.
Kill them. Are you using your gun?
No, I'm using my firepower. Okay. My magical bullets.
Well, there is no bad guys.
Mm.
Do not use them when there's no bad guys. Hey, that was an apple!
I know, I mistakenly shot it. So you can't shoot your food.
Now you can have an apple.
Oh, look, cheese.
I know. Shoot. Why did you gun your apple?
I didn't. Oh, it was an accident.
Game over for you, because You ate the bread. Okay. Now can we go to the ladder?
Yeah.
Yay.
All right, so listen, hear me out. Now remember, this is just between you and me, all right? And by you, the listener, who this is, this frequency in particular, is only being received by you. I'm very glad it's not being received by man behind the machine. Trust me, I'm ducked down behind a bookshelf in a zoo out here, man. At any time, I could get attacked by a puma, man. But listen, I've tapped into it. I realize that the movie War Games, it's all coming together, man. The movie War Games is based on the real-life reality of Man Behind the Machine, man. No, Man Behind the Machine is not the little boy. He's the computer, artificial intelligence itself. Now listen, don't let this get out. Don't let this get out, and don't let Man Behind the Machine hear this recording.